it's Jean Shaw here, and today I'm talking to Kim Nesbitt, a very nice lady and advocate of GVO, whom I met in San Antonio in Texas. Kim has been in business for herself since high school and has been in direct sales for 30 years. However, it's only very recently she's put her business online, and it's due in part to a book she read in July 2008. Apparently, that began her journey of getting out of debt, and it's a path many people would like to take these days. She says she's learned a lot and also made a lot of mistakes, so let's see what advice she has to offer. Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. So tell me, Kim, where do you live exactly?
I live in Seattle, Washington.
Right. Well, I am what is known as geographically challenged. So where is that as far as America is concerned? Is that West Coast, East Coast? Where?
It's the West Coast, and it is the upper left, left hand of the United States. We're the one that kind of looks like, I don't know. Anyway, it's up in the left-hand corner of the United States.
Right. Okay. So at least I know now. So you've been in direct sales for 30 years. What exactly have you done?
I have. Well, my very first experience, it was kind of funny. I went to a Tupperware party, and I was in high school. And at the end of the presentation, I decided that I thought I would like to host a party. And so I just went to the consultant, and I said, well, how do I do this? Meaning, how do I host a Tupperware party? And she thought I meant, how do I become a consultant? And so she just started talking to me as if I was interested in becoming a consultant. And the more she talked, the more I was like, well, that sounds really fun and really interesting. And so I signed up as a consultant before I even hosted my first party.
So you couldn't have been very old then?
No, I was, I must have been, had just turned 18.
Oh, gosh. And is Tupperware still going? Because it's that kind of thing that once you get it, you never need to buy anymore, because it seems to go on and on and on, doesn't it?
Right. Well, they always came out with new products. Tupperware is still very, very big. I am not in it any longer, but they always had new things that you would buy, you know, new types of storage things, and they came out with lunch sets and all kinds of stuff. So they always had new things for people to buy.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not in Tupperware, what did you do after that?
I started doing Avon, which was a lot of fun. I didn't do a whole lot with it. I didn't go out and get a whole lot of customers. It was more just for friends and for myself. And I did that for just probably a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened after that then?
After that, I went through several of them, never really found one that I clicked with. I've done Princess House. I did Cutco, which was Cutco Knives. I did okay with that one. And then I got into Creative Memories, which is a scrapbooking. And I did very, very well with that. I had one son, and I had so many pictures, and so it was fun to be able to kind of share that art with other women and do scrapbook parties and weekends and all that kind of fun thing. And I did that for several years, and then I got into Arbonne, which I am still doing now, which is healthy skincare and vitamins, makeup, and that has been a lot of fun, and I've been very, very successful with that. And I, like I said, I'm still doing Arbonne now.
I think if you really like the product, you can immerse yourself in it and be successful. But a lot of people, I think they try things just for the sake of getting in and hopefully earning some money, don't they? And if you don't really click with it, if you don't fully believe in the product, then you can't really make a success, I don't think.
Right. Right. And I think that's why with Tupperware, I was very successful. I was excited about the product. I did, you know, I really enjoyed it. Avon, I just kind of did on the side. The knives, I wasn't, I mean, I liked them, but I wasn't real passionate about them. I think the passion came around with the scrapbooking and then now with the makeup and the skincare.
Mm-hmm. So all these products and things, that presumably they were network marketing and MLM opportunities, were they?
Yes, they all were.
So did that involve lots of hotel meetings and trainings and cold calling and things like
that? Yes, it was a lot of that type of stuff. Meetings every weekend and, you know, a lot of time going out and being inviting people to come to the hotel meetings. And then you would have, you know, oh, I can't come today, someone is sick or something happened. So, you know, you think you'd have one or two people coming with you, and then I would end up going to the meeting by myself because my guests weren't able to make it. And I always found that frustrating.
And how did you feel about, I'm assuming that, I mean, I don't really know a lot about network marketing, but I think you, or the recommendation used to be anyway, that you make a list of all your friends and families and invite them round. And I would have thought that was the easiest way to lose your friends and families.
I think, yes, that is what they always recommend that you do, is friends and family. And personally, I think friends and family are the hardest to get involved. For me, I did do a lot of different companies, and I would even get embarrassed thinking, how can I friends now and tell them, okay, well, I was doing that one, but now I'm going to do this one and see how that goes. And I finally came to the conclusion that I didn't want to do friends and family because, I don't know, they just seem the hardest to get excited for you, and they're the first ones to say, no, why are you going to do that? That's not going to work. And when you're just starting a new business, you don't want people to tell you, no, you're not going to do it until you get a little bit of confidence. And I think even for my new people, when they would start, I even said, you know, be very careful with which friends and which family you are going to share it with, because you do want to start out, you know, with maybe your closest friend or a sister or, you know, a brother or someone that is going to be super, super supportive and not going to tell you not to go after this, because people, when they hear that, don't go after it. I don't know why it is, but it always seems easier to believe the hard stuff. You know, people can tell you, you're going to be great, you're going to be great. You can have 10 people tell you that, and you think, okay, I can do it. And then you'll have one person say, that is a dumb idea, don't do that.
And I suppose, though, for like friends and family, I mean, genuinely, usually, they want to protect you, and they don't want you to get hurt or make a fool of yourself, do they? So maybe, especially if you decide to do a career move that is completely alien to something that you've ever done before. I mean, you can understand them thinking, oh no, here we go again. She's just going to get hurt and make a fool of herself. So, you know, better stop it in the bud.
Yep.
But it is hard. I mean, I know everybody wants respect and they want to be encouraged. So I know what you mean. It only takes the smallest thing to make you be filled with self-doubt, doesn't it? And think, well, maybe I can't do it after all.
I think support group is so important when you're starting, you know, a new endeavor or something that maybe your friends and family aren't familiar with. I think that's where it's important to get with your team that you're building and just be able to talk about all this kind of stuff.
Mm. So you've only recently got online then, because all these other ones, they were like door-to-door and meetings and things. So how did that come about?
I was taking a procrastination cure class. I know, sounds very funny. But it was a class that was designed to help our bond consultants get over the fear of picking up the phone to make those phone calls, because it's very scary. And the class was phenomenal, and in fact, one of my dreams that I want to do is put together a program for people to get over procrastination and get over being overwhelmed, Because for me, I know when I get overwhelmed, I just stop everything. And in this course, we learned how to work through your fear or your overwhelmed feelings, work through that and get it done. And the coach that I took that with, her name is Wendy Hart, she introduced a group of us to internet marketing. We did a class with Michael Chaney. And when we signed up with Michael Chaney to do his program, we were introduced to GVO as our hosting company. And there were 12 of us that took the entire course. And I am, I believe, the only one, maybe there's one other that I'm definitely the one that has gone the farthest in after the golden thread ended. Most dropped out before or right after the golden thread ended, they stopped, and I just kept going. I just got hooked on it, and it was funny. I was excited. My husband is an engineer, and he's with computers all day, and I'm always like, "Oh, computers, they're so boring. Why would you ever do anything with them?" And then I took this crazy class, which was so interesting, and I learned so much, and I totally just got hooked, and I love it.
Michael Chaney is very funny, though, isn't he? His magic red pen, he always used to have that on everything. But so are you kind of technically minded then as well?
Well, I am learning the technical. I will watch a video again and again and again until I get it. And I do what they suggest. You know, you have the video playing in the left half of the screen, and you have what you're working on the right half of the screen, and you play the video until it says go to do this. I would pause the video, and then I would go to the right side of my screen, and I would do that one tiny little step, and then I would, you know, go back to the video and do that tiny little step, and then I just went back and forth and back and forth, and the next time I had to do something again, I couldn't remember what I did, so I'd go back to the video and I'd watch the video and do it again. And each time I did that, I would learn then that process.
So, do you write things down? I mean, as you're watching the video, you could write them down so you've got a system. So instead of having to keep watching the video, you could just refer to your notes, couldn't you?
I am so visual that I'll take notes, but even when I'm looking at my notes, I like to have that video to watch and just see it again and go through it again.
I think most people are visual learners, actually. I mean, it's nice to have all different formats, isn't it? The word and videos as well. So you've got two teenage sons, haven't you? Do they help you at all?
They do. In fact, it was funny. I mean, they don't help a whole lot, but if I ask them questions, a lot of times they'll answer it. And I was doing something. Well, when I was trying to set up a website for someone, I could not figure out how to save this one little thing. And my 14-year-old was sitting next to me, and I had worked on it for 3 days trying to figure out how to do this. And finally asked him, I said, "How in the world do I do this? How do I save this?" And he goes, "Oh, just go right up here and you just save." And I'm like, "Are you kidding? I have looked for 3 days and try how to save that." And then he knew immediately how to do it, and we've had a good laugh about that.
That's the thing about teenagers or even younger children. They're sort of born with mobile phones and computers, so they know so much, don't they? And yet you just don't think to ask them.
I know. It was like I should have asked you 3 days ago because it's just.
That's wonderful that he's able to help. I mean, normally if you ask a teenager, they're sort of in a different world and they sort of roll their eyes to the sky, don't they, and go, duh.
When he goes, "Are you kidding? You've looked for 3 days for that?" I'm like, "Yeah, don't say anything."
So, apart from your procrastination course, you also did visual performing arts, didn't you? What's that all about?
Well, I went to college. I went to Northern Illinois University. And I was going to be a speech teacher. And then I went in to see the counselor, and he said, "Oh, no, you can't be a speech teacher. You're much too small. The kids will never respect you, and you'll not be a good teacher because they won't respect you." And I was crushed. I just thought, wow, okay, so.
Sorry, excuse me. When you say speech teacher, do you mean like a speech therapist or what? What
Actually,
is.
teach like high school kids how to give speeches.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. So it would be I wanted to be a teacher in a high school and help kids, get over their fear of speaking and learn how to give a good presentation and all of that type of things. And then the counselor said that, and while I was starting down that path, I had to take some theater classes. It was all part of the communication degree that I was going to be getting, and I just loved the theater and the drama classes, and there was lighting and costumes and acting, and I thought, well, if I can't be a speech teacher, then I'm going to go into visual and performing arts, and that's kind of how that came about.
So, have you ever been in like the amateur dramatics and things like that?
I did a lot of drama in our church, and I did one play where we actually traveled around and did a show in different communities. But I always laugh because I think I use my degree every day, even though I'm not really in the field and I'm not paid for that. They taught us body language, how to read body language, how to mirror people so that when you're talking with them that they can feel comfortable and you can feel more comfortable. And the improv, how to kind of think on your feet. So I feel like I got a great training, and especially for doing the direct sales and even in the online world, it's been very, very helpful.
So, in the online world, I know that you create videos and you come off as very natural in front of the video camera. But you just mentioned about mirroring people. Well, obviously, you can't see your customer or your client or your viewer. So, how do you decide how you're going to promote yourself when you can't see the audience?
Well, one of the things that with body language that you want to keep yourself open, like you don't want to stand with crossed arms or sit with crossed arms because that appears as you're very closed off. So when you're on video, it would be to just try to keep your arms more open and not have your legs maybe crossed so tightly that you're appearing very closed off.
So, do you do all your marketing now then via video, or do you write copy? Do you write articles and things like that?
Yeah, I'm doing online, I'm writing copy, and I'm also still phoning people to see if that they're interested in the services that I have. I think a misconception that people have is they think once they go online, they'll never have to talk to anyone again. And for me, I just don't see that happening. I think that marketing is still very much about relationships and it's very much about people. And, Joel says all the time, people do business with people. They don't do it with a company and they don't do it with a brand. They do it with people that they know, like, and trust. And so it's creating those relationships. So you want to know people, and not get to know them so that you can make money off of them. That's not at all what I'm about. I want to get to know people and see if that there is truly something that I can help them with.
So when you say you phone people, do you do it through Skype or do you do land phone or how do you communicate with them? Do you have your web conference room open?
Yeah, I do actually all of those things. I call them on the phone or talk to them in person, call them on Skype. And then, yeah, the video conference too, so that I can invite people in and say, hey, I'm going to be talking about this topic, on Facebook even, and just say, I'm going to be talking about, one of my passions is helping people get out of debt. And so I've said, come talk to me about debt, and have had some people show up, and that's been just a lot of fun talking with them, to try to help them to get out of debt.
And do you have your conference open at specific hours, or is it just if you're there?
It's just if I'm there right now, that's something that I want to do, where I'll have a set time that I would be there. I would like to get a group of people together. I guess kind of try a pilot program to see what's going to work and what didn't work,
So what have you found has been the most difficult thing for you being online? Is it the fact that it was such a learning curve, or is it all the different information, the information overload, or what?
think, yeah, there is definitely a huge learning curve that takes place. It's like when I first started, I felt like I was attending university, college classes, and they were all in French, because I didn't know what was a URL, what was HTML, what was, I didn't even know what they were talking about. What's a domain name? And so there's all these new words to learn. And then as I would go to learn something, you'd find something else that you had to learn, or that you thought you had to learn. And I think that's where the GVO Academy has helped so much, because it gives you direction, and it's kind of, they've got some of the step-by-step pieces that you need to take in order to get yourself online.
Yeah, and I think another good thing about the GVO Academy is that they do make you realize that, yes, there is a lot to learn, but you don't have to know it all at once, and that as long as you persevere, you will get there in the end. Because I think there's a lot of misconception on the internet, especially for people who are just beginning, that you just have to put your website up and learn one thing and you'll be an instant success overnight, which isn't what happens at all. It generally takes a long time. Or that you have to do absolutely everything. You have to Twitter, you have to do Facebook, you have to submit articles, you have to create videos, press releases, the whole lot. And obviously, the more that you can put into the mix, the better, but you really do not have to do everything. And I think it takes people to actually say, look, it's okay. You don't have to do that bit. If you don't feel comfortable doing that bit, it's okay. Try something else. Do you think?
Agree. Yeah, it's like putting blinders on, and it's doing the list the night before. What am I going to work on tomorrow? Because I'll sit down with my list and I'll get online and I'll go look at something, and all of a sudden I'm down this wrong path. But when I look back to my list, I'm like, okay, that is not on my list today. I can do that later, but today I've got to do these things. It may be a blog post, with a video. And the first time that you do a blog post and a video, it's going to take some time, and they get easier and easier. But what people don't see is sometimes you do four or five takes to get one that you're like, okay, I can put that one online. And one of my secrets with my videos, I don't like to watch myself on video, so I will do it. I'll watch it once, edit it, make sure that it's okay, and then I try to not ever watch it again.
Well, you always come across as very, very natural. So you obviously either you do some good editing, or you're just a natural anyway. So I absolutely hate being in front of the video. It's just, oh, I just hate it.
There are many people that I know that really like it. They do it because they have to, but they don't really like it. And that's where, if I don't have to watch it again, I'm quite happy.
But I think possibly your visual performing arts could have helped there because you were used to being on stage. Although really everybody's on stage, aren't they? Even if they're not actually.
If you get out and you go to, if you take your kids to school or something, you're out and about. You can do video if you're presentable enough to go to the grocery store. You can do a video. And people, they're people are nice. They're not trying to be mean to people. So, if someone is out and they're trying, then that's good.
But talking of people not being mean, you recently created a video talking very excitedly and very openly about getting your first client as a hosting client for a local business. And clearly, there must have been some snide remarks because, Mark Call, one of the GVO trainers, kind of defended your honor in one of the webinars. So, how did you feel about that?
I was shocked when he said that. I was like, wow, really? I had no idea that anyone had said anything because obviously they sent the emails to him. Mark had never said anything to me about it. And, on so many levels, I can understand it. I think that people struggle and they when they don't get it, they want to, I don't know if they want to feel like, well, someone's helping her and someone's doing it. How can she do it? I can't do it. I don't know. I don't think like that. So I don't really know what they were thinking when they said that. And I realize, as you get going, and you start to get more, recognition, that you have to have a little bit thicker skin.
It just seems that some people want it to happen for them without putting in the work, but you've clearly
I have put
put
in
the work, the hours of learning how to do things and then trying to
I
help others. So.
and I decided a long time ago that I was not going to quit until I made this work. And I think partly that comes from, I've done so many multi-level companies, and they are hard. I mean, people tell you're going to get in and oh, you'll make $30,000 in a month. Well, you will, but you have to really, really, really work to get that. It doesn't happen overnight. And that is the piece that people don't get.
I think many people fail because exactly that, because they don't get immediate success. They give up too easily, don't they? And then they're jealous of the people that do persevere and make it.
Which, in fact, instead, if that they would just reach out to those people would help them. And that would be a better use of time, to reach out and say, okay, well, how did you do this? What did you do?
But some people can accept information from different people in a different way. I mean, I know myself, I've often heard the same message spoken by lots of different people, but I only resonated with a few of them. The others, it just sort of went way over my head, or I just didn't get it. And then somebody says exactly the same thing, and it all seems to make sense somehow.
And there's that big saying that, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Yes, I've heard that many, many times. But it's true, I think. I think it is true. When you've got your mind open and you're ready, then you will make it. You will. So.
I've spent hours on Google. If I can't figure out by watching the video, then I go to Google and I will type in, how do I, whatever my question is, and I will search on Google and look for a different way of hearing the same information, just exactly like you just said.
And do you go to YouTube then as you're a visual learner? Because that's a very good place to, as a browser, isn't it? As a search engine.
Because a lot of times they have those same type of videos that are, you know, watch it, stop it, do it. Watch it, stop it, do it.
Exactly. So going back to helping people get out of debt, what was the book that changed your life?
It was a book called The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey.
Gosh. And I read somewhere that it made you laugh. So was it very amusing or something? Was it a true story or what?
The story. Dave Ramsey actually went bankrupt twice. He became a millionaire and went bankrupt. Lost everything twice. And so he vowed never, ever, ever to go back into debt. And it's the story of how he and his wife, Sharon, got out of debt. And he's just, it's easy to read. I read it in a weekend. And then on home from a camping trip, I read it to my husband out loud. It was a 10-hour car ride. And I read the whole thing to him on the way home. And we just started doing that. That was 2 years ago.
So have you got some quick tips for anybody then?
Well, he has baby steps that he does. The first step is to save $1,000 for an emergency. And then you do what's called the debt snowball. And you knock out the smallest debt first, making minimum payments on every other debt. And then once that smallest debt is gone, you take whatever payment you are making to that one and you put it on the next smallest debt. And you just work your way out. And it's painful and it takes time, but it has changed our lives.
It certainly makes sense to do it that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's like everything else. I suppose if you've got a multitude of debt, where you look, you've got debt, you can sometimes think, oh, what's the point? I might just as well get into more debt because I've dug a hole so deep, I'm not going to get out of it anyway. So.
Yeah, and he has people call him. He has a radio show here in the United States. And he has people call them all the time and they say, well, I'm going to file bankruptcy. And he'll go through the numbers with them. And he's like, you're not bankrupt. You can work through this. Very, very rarely does he ever tell someone, yeah, you need to file bankruptcy, because he can usually work through with them a plan that would get them out.
Well, that's great. Well, I do hope you do that kind of class then, because I'm so sure you'll have a lot of viewers listening in. So let me see. I know that you are keen on Susan Boyle and Oprah Winfrey. They are very motivational people, and they all seem to have the same attitude, in as much as that they don't give up easily in the face of adversity, which seems to me that you're following along their paths, actually. So is there anyone else that inspires you?
Gosh, there's so many people, really, that inspire me. Right now, all their names have left me. Books that I've, of course, you know, the How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie is so good. And then another book that I really like is Dare to Dream and Work to Win by Dr. Tom Barrett.
Well, that sounds inspiring.
Your dreams.
To Vegas, didn't you, to see Marshall Silver? How did you get on with that? Was that a turning point in your life as well?
That was huge. Yeah, it really was. So many people from GVO went, and that was the first time that I had met any of the GVO people in person. And that really, really cool.
So did your husband go as well?
He did not go. He did not go. In fact, I got to meet you and talk with you for a little bit too, which was very fun.
Not in Las Vegas.
That's right. That was
this was at San Antonio. Yeah. When the Las Vegas one was on, I was in hospital because I'd been to a workshop in Las Vegas earlier, actually, with Alex Jeffries. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's quite a big internet marketer. And on the way back in London, when I was going up the escalator at King's Cross, the suitcase that I was holding slipped, and I did a backward flip down the escalator and hit my head and all sorts. So actually, when the Marshall Silver thing was on, I was in hospital being checked out. But I'm okay now, she says.
My husband did go with to Las Vegas.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he went there. Trip's confused. But yeah, he went, and so that was fun because we got to spend a weekend together. And I was still able to attend, the seminar and stuff during the day. So that was.
Was the weather nice in Las Vegas when you went?
It was okay. It wasn't super warm, but it was nice.
When we went for the workshop that I went with Alex Jeffries, they'd had more rain in the week that we were there than they'd had in the entire year. So one way, it wasn't really a very successful trip, but it was a nice experience, and I did meet some lovely people and learn a lot. So that was good. That was good. So where are you going from now then, Kim? What is your next step, do you think?
Well, my next step is to get my new client's website completely up and to start sharing with people what I have learned, the steps I have taken, to get to where I'm at now.
Because actually, I mean, you said that you live in Seattle, but your client is in Florida, is that right?
Right,
Right.
right.
And that definitely isn't close to you.
That's not close, but I love to talk on the phone, and we needed some insurance in Florida. And so I called him on the phone, and we, started talking. I went to his website to check it out, and he didn't have one. I got one of those 404 errors. And so when after we finished talking about the insurance, I just said to him, "Oh, now what's going on with your website?" And he said that his website, he wasn't happy with it, so he had taken it down. And then all I said was, "Oh, well, maybe I could help you with that because that's what I do." And from that, we got talking. And he said, "Well, that would be great." And I said, "Well, let me put something up and see if it's something that you would even like." And when I showed it to him, he liked it, and he's going to host with me now. And yeah, it's been very cool, very exciting. And I told him, I said, "You know what? I am brand new at this, and I will do everything I can. We'll work together." And he was excited, and I was excited, and it's been again, I'm still on a learning. I think with the internet, you're going to always be learning. Things are always changing.
That is absolutely amazing. I'm obviously live in England, so why would you want insurance in Florida, and why couldn't you just get it from a local insurance person?
We have a condo down in Florida.
Oh, I see.
So yeah, so we need to have insurance on it, and you have to get your insurance in the state. Well, so I went to Dave Ramsey's site, and he has what he calls endorsed local providers, who are people that he trusts, and I trust Dave Ramsey. So when I looked up ELP for Florida, they got me back and said that this was who that was.
So you see, when you read that book in 2008, that was the beginning of this new venture, really, wasn't it? Because if you hadn't read that book, you wouldn't have got in touch with Dave Ramsey. So you wouldn't have gone on his site. So you wouldn't have found this insurance man who needed a website.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I always believe that things happen for a reason, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Anyway, it's been lovely chatting to you, Kim, but I'll let you go now. So, thank you very much for sharing a few of your thoughts. How can people find you?
They can go to my website, which is kimnesbitt.com, and it's spelled KimNesbitt.
And will they be able to see your facial expressions to see if they can guess your body language?
Yep.
Oh, that's good. Tell me, do you use it on your husband and son? Well, not actually use it, but when they say something, do you look at them and think, oh yes, you're whatever?
No, I don't think I do with my family, and it's not something that's even in the forefront of my mind. It's not like I'm trying to manipulate people or anything like that. But if you're in a situation where people, like, you can feel when people are pulling away from you, just understanding, what am I doing that's making them uncomfortable? What can I do to make them more comfortable? That's that kind of a thing. But I don't know. I'd have to think about that if I use it on my family or not. Interesting.
You perhaps do it subconsciously, but there again, they might know that you're doing it, so they might m be mirroring you as well. So, anyway, thanks again, Kim. It's been great talking to you, and no doubt we'll see your happy, smiling face in a few more videos.
Well, thank you so much.
You take care. Bye.